So if you would, to Leviticus chapter 25 is where we're going tonight. Leviticus chapter 25. You almost wish you could give pre-homework for a message, because this theme, if you will, and we're going to be looking at the Jubilee that is taught here in the book of Leviticus. And it goes from here all the way into chapter 27. And so I tell you, it's been an enjoyable study. I would highly recommend it to you. There's no way we're going to be able to get every bit out of it here tonight. But many of you may or may not know what a Jubilee is. In just standard meaning of the word, Jubilee usually is associated with 50 years, okay? And how many of us were alive in 1976? You guys remember that? Bicentennial? Remember how everything was red, white, and blue, and stars on everything like that? And we had the quarters and all the, and so they made a big deal about, if you will, the 200th anniversary of our country. And so our fifth Jubilee as a nation is coming up next year. And so that's going to be a big deal and everything like that, 2026. When I went to study this, I was interested to see if the nation of Israel celebrated Jubilee. And technically, 2025 is their Jubilee year. And so they should be celebrating a Jubilee this year, except it said there that they don't celebrate the Jubilee until they are completely in the land, meaning because they haven't taken full possession of the land, they're not going to keep the Jubilee this year. Well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. I don't think they ever kept the Jubilee. And so we're going to look at that here tonight. So in Leviticus chapter 25, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then you shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the land. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard, and that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that journeyeth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat." And so it's the generosity of God saying, don't harvest your field that seventh year. Everybody can eat of it. Everybody can profit from it. But it wasn't to be cultivated or harvested and then sold and profited from. And if you will, God is saying, it belongs to me. This is what I want you to do with it. Okay, we'll see that here in just a moment. Verse 8, the Bible says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee." So we're gonna study this today, but the Sabbath day was the seventh day, right? And so you have a Sabbath of days, and then here he talks about a Sabbath of years, and here in a moment he's going to talk about a Sabbath of Sabbath years, okay, 49 years. And by the way, this is throughout the Bible. It's a wonderful story. If you want to take and look at it, you could really just do a whole message on just that, the numbers of sevens in the Bible. And the Bible says in verse 8, "Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty," that's freedom, okay, if you will, "throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." And then it goes on to explain again about not harvesting or reaping. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to sing your praises here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship together. Father, we just pray that you would help us put aside the cares of this world for a time. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Give me the words I need. Give understanding by your Holy Spirit. And then, Father, help us not to just be hearers of the word tonight, but help us to be doers of the work. I pray that we might be changed tonight, that we'd understand a principle about stewardship, about who all this belongs to and what we should do with it. And Father, we just pray that we might be found faithful as we look for your soon coming. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We just thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, the nation of Israel, the Bible says in the book of Galatians, was our schoolmaster, or the law was our schoolmaster. The law was given to the nation of Israel. And the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, okay? And one of the principles that we learn about the law is the law was impossible to keep, okay? It was designed like that because you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. You're saved by grace through faith, amen? And so, if you will, God was trying to take and to communicate His high standards of what holiness is and what sinlessness is and what righteousness is, and He's all of those things, amen? And so He gives this commandment here that every 7 years, I want that seventh year to be a day given holy unto me, all right? Don't take and do any work in it. Just take and leave it fallow. He also told us to give Him a day, did He not? If you will, we'll look at that here in just a second, but He told, if you will, the nation of Israel to give a Sabbath day, and they were supposed to give that holy unto the Lord. I asked a minute ago how many of y'all were alive in 1976. How many of y'all remember what blue laws are? You guys know what blue laws are? Okay, blue laws are. All the old people, you notice all the old hands. Blue laws were, you couldn't buy a car on Sunday. Okay, could not buy a car on Sunday. I don't know if you can do it today. I don't know if it's possible today or not. But blue laws essentially were passed so that people wouldn't do business on Sunday. Okay, it was because, if you will, at one time, we actually maybe were kind of a Christian nation, and we valued giving that day to the Lord, if you will. Don't do any business. Don't do any commerce. Praise the Lord for businesses that even practice that today. Amen. You know, I'm not here to preach on that, but I can tell you this. If God thinks it's a good principle, then it's still a good principle today to give a day to the Lord. And so we're going to take and we're going to look at that here. Because the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about this Sabbath of years. And so if you will, we see a Sabbath was a time of rest, okay? But it was also a test of faith. Because when God said, I want you to take that seventh day and I want you to sanctify it, that means you set it apart as special, and you do only in that day what I ask you to do. It's not for working, and it's not for putting your servants to work. It's a day for rest for everybody, even for your animals. I don't want you even to kindle a fire in your homes on that day. Listen, when God gives these commandments, he's serious about them. And I will promise you this, there's got to be times in the Bible where we look in the Bible and we say, I don't understand why God wants us to do that. Well, please know this, God said this too. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, amen? And so if you will, God says, listen, you might not understand, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to do it, okay? Why? Folks, God doesn't put anything in His Bible, but understanding us and our need to understand Him, He put it in there, and He says, do it. And you might say, I don't understand. And so the just shall live by his faith. And so if you will, God is saying this, you just trust me, okay? You just trust me. I want you to think about this. He says, I want you to rest from your labors. And why did he do that? Would you go to Exodus chapter 20? That's the Ten Commandments, if you will. And he talks about, if you will, the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 20, and go down to verse 8, okay? Now, I don't know how many of y'all are good at knowing all the commandments, but this is the fourth commandment, okay? And we'll talk about that here in a second, but if you will, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, the Bible says this, it says, remember the Sabbath day. Can y'all tell me what that next word is? To keep it holy. Meaning, for you to sanctify the Sabbath day, you've got to remember to keep it, okay? And so he's saying this, I want you to make sure that you keep the Sabbath day holy. I have a purpose for this, okay? And the Bible says, further, it says this, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, or the rest of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. You know what he's saying? You don't work, and don't put anybody else to work, okay? in keeping this Sabbath. Amen. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it, or he sanctified it, or he set apart it as special. Okay. Let's talk about this here for a second. I said this already. This is the fourth commandment. Okay. Now, how many tablets did Moses come down from the mount with? Came down with two tables or two tablets, okay? And if you will, you can divide the commandments into the first table of the law and the second table of the law. And the first table of the law are all Godward commandments. The second table of the law are all manward commandments, okay? And so we're not dealing with any manward commandments right now, but we're only dealing with Godward commandments. And so I think we could all agree that the first three commandments are all about God. Okay, he's basically saying this: don't you ever forget who I am as God. The first commandment is, have no other gods before me. You know why? Because there are no other gods. And so if you will, by observing that first commandment, you're acknowledging there is only one God. Amen. The second thing he says, make no graven image. Why? No man's seen God at any time and lived. How can you make a graven image of someone you've never seen? And so, if you will, he knows the tendency of man that those graven images would become idols that would turn people's hearts away. He says, don't do it. I'm the invisible God. Take and worship me as the almighty God, if you will. And so make no graven images. Have no gods before me. Have no graven image. And take not the Lord's name in vain. He'll not hold people guiltless who take his name in vain. And folks, all you got to do is read through the book of Exodus and Numbers. And young man took the Lord's name in vain. They heard it. They took him outside the city. They stoned him to death. They said, how serious are we taking this thing? They stoned him to death for taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, how many of y'all can understand that? Okay? Teaching a principle. Listen, don't let it spread. Don't take my name in vain. Why? Because you start taking my name in vain, you'll start forgetting that I'm God. Y'all understand that? So what was the penalty for not keeping the Sabbath? Could you turn to Numbers chapter 15 and look at verse 32? Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. The Bible says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. How many of y'all think you probably had a good reason for doing that? Probably gathering sticks to cook his food, to heat his house. He's like, oh, my wife's cold. I got to heat her. And I'm like, oh, don't take that farther than I'm trying to say. Okay. His motivation might have been good. You know, he could have justified it to himself. By the way, what's another word for justifying things to yourself? It's called making an excuse. Have you ever noticed that excuses only satisfy the person making them? Amen. And so, if you will, he had every good reason to go out and gather those sticks, but God told him, don't gather sticks on my rest day. Oh, it can't be that big a deal. Well, the Bible says in verse 33, and they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. They put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. And all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. But please listen to me. You might think, and people might accuse our God of being a harsh God, but you got to know that God has a purpose for everything that he does. And he's trying to tell you, he's saying this, don't have any other gods. Folks, what happens if you trust in another God and you die? You go to hell. We say the wages of sin is death. Well, let me ask you a question. What if it's just a little sin? The wages of sin is death. All this man did was pick up sticks on the Sabbath day. He didn't hurt anybody. But you know what? God told him, don't do it. I have a purpose for everything that I do. And if I give you a commandment, even though you don't understand it, I need you to trust me, if you will, to keep it. I want you to know that I teach my people this, and I think it's a simple way to understand, if you will, the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, listen, I've created everything. Everything here is good. Amen. He says, I have one commandment for you. Don't eat from that tree. It didn't mean you couldn't look at it. Didn't believe you couldn't smell it. Didn't even say that you couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat it. Y'all understand that? You know what he's saying? Can I put it in little simpler terms? God said to Adam, he says, Adam, eat everything in here, but trust me, don't eat from that tree. Can I ask you this? For by grace are you saved through faith, and faith is just simply trusting God. I don't know about you, but if you think you have any part in your salvation, I say this, you might want to reassess your salvation, because God alone is the one who can save. We have to trust Him for salvation. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. And so if you will, we see here that God teaches this principle, you need to trust me. And so if you will, he's saying here, trust me, you don't want to forget to keep the Sabbath. Why? Because if you forget to keep the Sabbath, all kinds of terrible things are going to happen. Now, folks, I will tell you, somebody who wants to mock at sin could take and laugh at that. What could possibly happen if you forget to keep the Sabbath? Romans chapter 1, please. Could you go there? Romans chapter 1. Amen. Romans chapter 1. What is a person acknowledging when they keep the Sabbath? Well, think about where we just learned about this commandment. It says, in 6 days, God created everything. In our schools today, do they teach in evolution? Hopefully not if you have a school here. I'm talking about public school. Do they teach evolution? And essentially they're saying, instead of God being eternal, they say matter is eternal. And my only question is, where did matter come from? Okay, y'all understand that? And so if you will, you know what God's saying? He says, every Sabbath day, every seventh day, I want you to take a day off to remember I created everything in 6 days and took a day off. Y'all get it? You ever followed the French Revolution? It was a bloody, terrible, terrible, awful revolution. It's actually good history to know. And one of the first things they did, because they were so trying to throw God out of their society, why? Because the Catholic Church had polluted that society. They ended up hating God because of false religion. Amen. And they wanted nothing to do with God. So instead of having a 7-day work week, they went to a 10-day work week in France. And the sole purpose was to deny that there was a God. Yeah. Folks, get a hold of this. When God says, every seventh day, I want you to stop and I want you to rest. And the thing I want you to remember is I created this world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, I rested. How often would you get that reminder? This is a silly question, amen, but you would get that reminder once a week. Once a week, you get the reminder that there is a creator God. Amen. Go to verse 28 in Romans chapter 1 then. And the Bible says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, can you just stop there for a second? And even when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Folks, I don't think you'll go to hell by not going to church on Sunday, but I'll tell you this. God had us to take a day to remember Him for a reason. You say, well, what could happen if I stop going to church? Terrible things could happen. Look what the Bible says right here. This is God's word, is it not? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. By the way, the word reprobate means their mind doesn't work right, okay? Doesn't mean they're crazy. It just means they don't think right, okay? And the Bible says, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Amen. But they don't have to worry about the judgment of God. You know why? They don't believe in God. And folks, that's the reason all these terrible, wicked things happen. Why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. And God said this. He said, you take a day off every week to remember there's a God who is a creator God. A lot of people say, well, you can go to heaven and not take a day off. Okay. But you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. Amen. And so, if you will, we see taking the seventh day off is right. Now, seventh day technically is Saturday. And the Sabbath was for the nation of Israel. But folks, today we sanctify Sunday. Why? Because I don't know about you. I want to remember a risen Savior. I don't know about you. I don't need to have Easter to remember Resurrection Sunday. We have resurrection every Sunday. Because we're celebrating a risen Savior. Every time we come together, we're acknowledging, listen, I'm sanctifying myself unto Him. He sanctified this day. I'm going to be here to hear the Word and to worship with His people, amen, and to acknowledge that there is a God. And it will change your behavior. It will change your attitude throughout the whole week, amen, knowing that there is a God. Listen, I'm glad for a risen Savior, amen. But think about this. Think about this. It's one thing giving up a day. But we're not talking about a Sabbath day here in our text. We're talking about a Sabbath year. And God says this, here's what I want you to do. And He's you'll see that this year started on the 10th day of Tishri, which correlates with the Feast of Tabernacles. It's at the end of the year. It's September, October time frame. And so that's when it would start, amen, on a time that the world calls Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. It's the most holy day in the Jewish religion, amen. And we'll talk about it here in a second, amen. But that's when it would start. But from the time of September, if you will, the end of the harvest season, and then for the whole next year, don't plant, don't till, don't plant, don't harvest, don't work your field for a whole year, okay? Now, God had a plan for that, amen? How many of y'all know this, that God, what God asks you to do, he provides for you to do it. You remember, they weren't going to have food to eat for 7 years in Egypt, and so God said, well, we're going to give you extra food for the 7 years before that, amen? And so, if you will, God says, we don't want you to harvest for those 7 years. Well, how in the world are you going to be able to take care of that? Well, folks, on the Sabbath day, if you remember when they collected manna, on the sixth day, collect twice as much. Why? Because you're going to have some for Sabbath day or that day, and then for Sabbath day also, amen, and then you'll have fresh manna again on Sunday morning, okay? And so, if you will, he said, I'll provide for you. You just make sure you take it off. Now, anybody here, maybe like average human beings, and instead of doing that, you have a bounty harvest, and you go, hoo-hoo, we had a great year, and then you try to plant again, amen, and God gave you all that up front, amen, and then you went and disobeyed His commandments, okay? That's what they did. If you think about this, you guys might be familiar for this, but folks, there's a reason for a Sabbath rest. We talked about some of that here. Let's talk about some more here. You know, think about this. A Sabbath rest, if you will provide rest for you, for your land, for your servants, and your service animals. A number of years ago, I read a book, and it was talking about the people that went on the Oregon Trail, and they would have the people in their wagons, and they would start off at the same time, and they would go, and it would come a Sabbath day, and the people who kept the Sabbath would stop. And the people who didn't keep the Sabbath day would go on and, you know, okay, they're a day ahead. And then, you know, the next Sabbath day would come and they would go on. But folks, you're going to know this. The people who reached Oregon first were the people who took the Sabbath day off. Why? Because God knows it's important for us to refresh and to recharge and to get our mind right and to get our bodies right, amen. And God is the one that put that principle in there. And it is so important for us. It's a time for the land to recover as it lies fallow. It's also a time for man to recover and refocus. You know, we're here on a Thursday night. It's Thursday, right? And, you know, a lot of people, they're doing other things. How many of y'all are getting strength for the following year? We're getting strength from the revival for the following year and taking and going forward. And God's feeding our soul, and we're encouraging one another. And we're strengthening. Why? Because we got a week ahead of us. We got a year ahead of us. Amen. And we just need to take, and we need to have that. don't know about if you know this, but today universities allow professors to have what's called a sabbatical year. And they take and they teach their classes and they do their research and they work very hard for 6 years. And then on that seventh year, they're able to go and to travel, take a vacation if they need to, do some studying in an area that they hadn't had time for. And it just takes and refreshes them and makes them stronger and better professors. What is my whole point? Even the unsaved world knows it's important for us to take a rest, if you will, to take and to refresh and to recharge. I believe that's what takes place every Sunday. We get physically refreshed. We enjoy fellowship. We grow in our understanding and our relationship with God and His Word. It's important. Amen. It's important. You know, God has a purpose for everything that He commands. And knowing this will help us to see His commands as a blessing and not a burden. I want you to think about this. You say, well, I have to go to church. You don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. What a privilege, amen? We get to go to church. So let's move on. And so you talk about, if you will, a Sabbath of days, a Sabbath of years. And now we need to talk about a Sabbath of Sabbaths, okay? Now, what I want you to see is God seems to use the number seven to communicate completion or fulfillment, meaning He has a purpose for everything that He does. And so we already talked about this, but remembering the seventh day reminds us that God created us, okay? Remembering the seventh year reminds us that God provides for us, okay? In Leviticus chapter 25, look at verse 18. He talks about what they're supposed to do here. So go back to Leviticus 25, look at verse 18. The Bible says, "Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments to do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety, and you shall in the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety." Let me just stop there for a second. "And you shall dwell therein in safety." One of the implications of this, and we're not going to have time to develop it all, he says, "I'll keep the enemy out of your land, and I'll defeat all your land. I'll defeat all your enemies if you'll just remember to take that seventh year off." Amen. Okay, so he made the promise beforehand. He says, this is what will happen if you'll just trust me to take this year off. And you got to imagine in their fleshly mind, they went, how can we afford to do that? How can we afford to do that? Well, you guys know the answer to that. How can we afford not to do that if it's a promise of God? So verse 19, the Bible says, "The land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year?" Well, I appreciate you gave us all this food in the sixth year, but what are we going to eat in the seventh year? "Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow in the eighth year and eat of the old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruit come in, and you shall eat of the old store." God says this, you take the year off and trust me, and I promise you I'll give you enough you can keep eating until that third growing season starts. Wow. Amen. You guys ever sing that children's song? God, He is able. He is able. You guys know the song? Our God's able. Our God is able. Amen. If He commands a thing, He will provide for the thing. And so God provides for us. That's what He's trying to teach you. Take that seventh year off, and you'll never forget that I can meet your every need. You'll never forget it. Okay? Now, some of this is being taught to us through the nation of Israel. God hasn't commanded us to take a seventh year off, okay? But He did then. He did teach us this principle, okay? Everything that we need to remember is this. Remembering the seven Sabbaths, that's the seven times seven, the 49 years, if you will, means that we all have been given things that do not belong to us. What do I mean by that? I didn't read the rest of this chapter, okay? But folks, they were to count out seven groups of 7 years, which was 49 years. And then on the 50th year, they were to celebrate a jubilee. And you know what they did with the jubilee? Any good businessmen here? Hopefully we're all good businessmen, okay? Can I tell you what happens? Some people are good with business, and some people can't keep any money in their pockets. And some people get rich and powerful and influential, and other people are destined to poverty that they pass on to their children. Amen? And you know what God says? He says, the land belongs to me. The people belong to me. The slaves belong to me. It all belongs to me. So every 50 years, everything you've gained, I want you to give it back to who it belongs to. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, some of you who have good bank accounts are going, uh-uh. And some of you who are struggling a little bit will go, that'd be kind of neat. Amen. Go back to zero every 50 years. Amen. I get my land back. I get my inheritance back. I get my freedom back. I get my wealth back. Amen. All those things they got back every 50 years. Matter of fact, if you sold a piece of land or if you sold a building, you had to calculate how long it was till the Jubilee to set the price. Because if it was so many 50 years to the Jubilee, high price. 1 year to the Jubilee, low price. Why? Because they knew they had to give it back at the end of the 50 years. And so God made a provision for it, amen? But he basically said this, every 50 years we're going to reset the clock. You know what he's saying? Your health belongs to me. Your money belongs to me. Your time belongs to me. Come on now, amen? I told you this was a message on stewardship, amen? Everything we have belongs to God. And we're going to give an account for every bit of it. And I'm going to let you in a little secret, too. Every one of us is going to give it back. It's appointed a man to once to die, and after this, to judgment, man. And the Bible makes it clear we cannot take any of it with us. Amen. We're going to take, we're going to give it all back. Jesus teaches us this principle in the New Testament. Would you go to Matthew, please? Go to the book of Matthew. Go to chapter 25. I'm going to trust that you're familiar with this, but I just want to hit it and then we'll move on. Matthew chapter 25. In verse 14, the Bible says this, says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. You guys know the parable, don't you? And one gained by trading, he had 10. And blessed art thou, you know, and he gave him his 10, okay? The other 2 gained 2 more, blessed, amen. You're going to be a ruler over cities, amen. And then one came, he says, I knew you were a hard man, I was afraid, I went and I hid it. And he said, boy, you should have put that to work. Why? Because I gave it to you to do work with, amen. And so I could receive mine own with usury when I come back. Amen. Look at verse 23, just for a second time. Verse 23, and his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, those are the good guys. Amen. Verse 26, and the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Okay? Meaning what? Everything I gave you, I gave for you to serve me. Everything I gave you, I gave. Folks, what does God give us? You know, a lot of times we just think about money here, but how about money and health and influence and children and folks, how many things, every good gift and every perfect gift descended from the Father of lights. If you got something good in your life, God gave it to you. You know who it belongs to? God. I say this lovingly, but those are not your children. They're God's children. Amen. Listen, we're going to give an account for our stewardship over those children. Why? Because those children belong to God. He only gave them to us. Amen? Gave them to us. And now we're going to have a stewardship over them. And so we see the 7 Sabbaths, all the Sabbaths remind us of something, that God created us, God provides for us, and God has given us everything that belongs to us. And so go back to our text and look at verse 9. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 9. And it talks about this, the year of Jubilee. Now I got to ask a question here. Boy, I hate to create a controversy here. But how many of y'all have Jubilee spelled with one E? Well, that's what I'm saying. You got 2? How many of y'all have it in 2? Interesting. I don't know what that means. I'm not trying to be controversial, but when I went through my Bible program to search for it, I spelled it Jubilee with 2 E's and nothing came up. I knew Jubilee was in the Bible. And it's spelled in my Bible and the King James. Okay, I got it. I'm just saying. No. Okay, let me stop and pause. Please forgive me. We were talking the other day, some of the things were issues when we were younger preachers that we don't even think are issues now, or we just kind of forgotten about them. Folks, it used to be we wouldn't use a King James Bible published by Nelson Publishers because they had made edits in the text, but not marked in the text that they had made edits. And it's very possible you have a Bible like that, okay, if it has Jubilee with two E's, okay? I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to tell you these are how these things happen, okay? So you probably have a King James Bible, but it's very possible that the publisher changed some of the spellings, okay? And so that's not going to be a crisis, is it? Sorry. Sorry about that. All right, let's get back on track. Verse 9, it begins on the Day of Atonement. I told you this, it's the most holy year, holy day of the year, Yom Kippur. It's a day, if you will, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 23, where you are to afflict your soul. Matter of fact, just turn back a page to Leviticus chapter 23 and look at verse 26. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement, and there shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. And so, if you will, it was a time where you were to take and, if you will, you were to come before God and you were to contemplate your soul. You were supposed to contemplate your relationship, your sin, or just, okay, it was a holy day, amen. And so, if you will, you're essentially saying this, Lord, am I right with God, or do I need to be atoned for and reconciled for, okay? Now, please take this the right way. None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. It'd be good for all of us, listen, on a daily basis. We don't have to wait every 50 years. On a daily basis to just say, Lord, am I right? Am I doing right? Amen. And so, that's what this day was for, okay? Now, go back to our text. I'm trying to hurry through here. Okay. So, in verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 25, the Bible says this. It says, in the year of Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Okay. There are some beautiful pictures in here that if I was preaching this, I would probably preach it as a series so that you could develop all this stuff. But it's just... He's just saying this. He says, every man gets his inheritance back. Why? Well, to keep people from taking advantage of one another. Look at what verse 17 says. Verse 17, the Bible says, it says, and you shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord your God. But I'll give you a little hint. It talks about it in here also. You cannot charge an Israelite any interest for a loan. Meaning this, you make a loan to him, you cannot charge him any interest. A stranger, you can charge interest. Amen? But not for, why? Because interest makes him in poverty, makes you rich. Okay? Now, if you have the power to lend, lend. If you don't have the power to lend, don't have the power to lend. But don't charge interest. Why? So that you become rich and they become poor. I'm not going to ask any. Can I encourage you not to use credit cards? It's okay. That's a bad way to say that. Don't keep a balance on your credit cards. Is that better? That's a better way to say it. Why? Well, folks, some of those cards have rates of 28% interest. You'll never pay that card off. Amen? It's unwise. And anyhow, that's a practical message there for a second. But folks, they're taking advantage of people that don't have money by charging 28%. That's called usury. It's a crime. It ought to be a crime. Amen. I'll amen myself. I think that's important. Well, it keeps people in bondage. Some people will be poor their whole life because they'll be paying their credit cards off their entire adult life. What tragedy. Amen. Verse 18. The Bible says this. He says, if you'll just give it back, okay, I'll keep you safe from your enemies. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments to do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety. You know what God says? If you'll just do what I tell you, I'll make sure your crops grow. I'll make sure the enemy can't defeat you. I'll make sure that your harvest goes all the way through the whole year, right to the planting. Amen. That's one of the promises to God. Amen. But he says, you got to trust me. You got to do, and if not, I'm going to let the crops fail, and I'm going to let the enemy come in, and I'm going to put you in captivity if you will not trust me. Amen. We see further, verse 23, he reminds all the people that the land belongs to him. Verse 23, the Bible says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. Ye are strangers and sojourners. Another word for that is pilgrims. Do we have any other strangers and pilgrims in here today? The answer is, if you're saved, all of us are strangers and pilgrims. Why? Where is your citizenship? Well, I'm a citizen of Alaska, United States, America. If you're saved, no, you are not. The Bible says our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen? Amen. And folks, if we could just get a hold of the fact that this world that we're living in right now is inconsequential to eternity in heaven. And God says this, don't you ever forget, all this here belongs to me. Do you remember where Adam and Eve lived before the fall? They lived in a place called Eden. It is a paradise. It's literally what it means, okay? It means a paradise or a garden. And God wants to walk and have fellowship with us. And it's a place of peace and beauty and safety and health and everything we desire to have. Amen. I don't know how many of y'all know this, but at one time, Alaska was a garden paradise. Okay? And as beautiful as this is outside, how many of y'all would rather live in a garden paradise? I'm not saying anything bad about Alaska, not at all. Okay? And you know what God is saying through all this? That's what I want for you too. Could you please remember everything down here is something I gave you to see what your stewardship would be, so I could actually reward you in a place where you could keep it for all eternity. And it's much better than anything you're trying to glom onto here. Amen. If you will, there's other wonderful principles taught in here. By the way, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12 tells us that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. And to get back what you sold, it had to be redeemed. Now, again, I'll talk to the old people here, but some of us didn't have money when we were kids, and we collected things called pop bottles. Right? How much were they worth in Alaska, brother? They were worth 5 cents in Colorado, 10 cents for some and 5 cents for others. Boy, you'd collect those things up and you'd take those in, and they would buy them back from you, or they would redeem them. And folks, some people in Israel had sold their possessions, they had sold their lives, their service, if you will, and to make them free again, or to get their, if you will, their inheritance back, a kinsman redeemer could come and buy it back. And folks, if you ever want to preach a good message or study a good thing, look at Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, in the book of Ruth. Amen? Wonderful thing. Okay. But for sake of time, I'll move on. Okay. It's a perfect picture of Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. Matter of fact, we see it in Leviticus chapter 25. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, and then all the land of your possession you shall grant a redemption for the land, meaning that if somebody sold it, somebody can buy it back for them. But folks, Jesus Christ bought our lives back with his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Amen. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, if any of his kin come, folks, that's the reason Jesus had to come to be a man, because only a man could pay the price for our sin. Amen. And he took, and the Bible says, and his kin can come to redeem it, and he shall redeem them which his brother sold. Okay? And if any man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years. And it talks about how it was to be redeemed. Okay? And so, if you will, you could buy your possessions back. You could buy your freedom back. Look at verse 39. Sometimes people got got so poor they had to sell their lives as slaves, okay, to pay their debt. We would call it indentured servitude, okay? And it would be a way for them to start over if they'd made mistakes in their life. But he says this, at the end of this time, all those slaves would get their freedom back. Verse 39, the Bible says, and if thy brother that dwell by thee waxen poor and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondsman, but as an hired servant. Anyhow, and then it goes all the way down. He says, you were servants in Israel. I bought you and redeemed you, and so I bought you back. What a wonderful picture of salvation, okay? And so, if you will, you need to remember what in your past used to put you in poverty and bondage, amen? And how many of y'all are glad Jesus Christ purchased you and bought you back? By the way, he didn't ask you to pay for it. He just asked you to ask for it, and then he paid for it. Free and clear. Don't owe him anything back. He paid for it. Praise God. Amen. And so, if you will, we see that that is a wonderful picture, if you will, of that Day of Atonement and that Jubilee year. Now, I want to talk about, if you will, the lost opportunity of Jubilee, okay? Go with me, if you will, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And look at verse 21. And I asked this question, how many times did they keep the Jubilee? Well, they were told to keep Sabbath years. Remember, every seventh year they're supposed to take off and give it to the Lord. They were supposed to let the land rest, okay? In all their history, they never kept that one time. And God, instead of making them pay for it one at a time, they didn't keep it for 490 years. And so he made them take all 70 of it at one time. That's the Babylonian captivity. And that's what it says right there in that verse. Okay, so look at verse 21 again. And the Bible says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land be enjoyed, had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept her Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. Please take this the right way. God will say this, I want you to keep the Sabbath. That's your choice. But he also says this, the land is going to keep its Sabbath. Amen. Okay? Meaning this, you can do anything with your life and the stewardship God's given you, but you're going to give an account for it because it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. Well, what's the application of that? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I didn't write a verse down. No, I got it right there. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Okay? Folks, that rest he's talking about is that Sabbath rest. That 7-year Sabbath rest. That Jubilee rest. Okay, he's talking about the rest that God has offered. Okay, now, if you knew all things were going to be equal, would you rather work 7 years for something or 6 years for something? And God is saying this, he says, if you'd have just trusted me, you could have had a year off. Wow. Skip down to verse 11. Verse 11, the Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of, what's the Bible say? Unbelief. You know what God says? The only reason you wouldn't take the year off is because you didn't believe my promise. The only reason you wouldn't take the 7th year off is because you didn't believe my promise. The only reason you wouldn't take the 50th year off is because you didn't believe my promise. And I promise you this, you would still be in the land today, You would be the head of all nations. You would have never missed a crop. You would have never been defeated by an enemy. Amen! If you would have just believed my promises. Now, folks, I will tell you, the problem with Christians sometimes is we pick and choose what we want to believe in the Bible. We pick it, oh, I believe in this, and I hold wholeheartedly to this. Yeah, but it says this about that. Amen? We talked about faith last night. If we're going to be blessed, folks, we need to believe all the promises of God in the Bible. Even the ones that challenge us and say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, what do you mean? We'll talk about that in just one more second. You know, this also applies, this of course, this is talking about Jesus, but it applies even more. Go to Acts chapter 3. I want you to see this. This is Peter preaching. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and Peter preaches this. He says, Repent ye therefore. By the way, that's afflict your souls and get right with God. Remember the Day of Atonement? Okay. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of, what's the Bible say? Refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Folks, that word refreshing is that word of restoration. That's what it means. The Bible says further, it says verse 20, it says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven shall must receive until the times of, what's the Bible say? Restitution of all things. Meaning what? We're going to get everything back in Jesus Christ. If we'll just learn to embrace his rest, if you will, if we'll just learn to be good stewards with what God gives us. Amen. So what is the application? Well, the application would be this. If you're working to become rich instead of working to become a blessing, you might want to repent of that. Because who cares if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And who cares if you gain the whole world and lose every opportunity to be a blessing for the reason why God blessed you? Amen. Why do people keep money to their own hurt? That's Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12. The Bible talks about keeping riches unto your own hurt, meaning this, you keep all the blessings and all the riches and all the good things for you and your family alone when you forget that God gave you all that to minister to somebody who doesn't have it, to redeem the one who had to sell himself. Come on now, amen? And so maybe you're rich with money, or maybe you're rich with time, or maybe you're rich with wisdom, maybe you're rich with compassion. And God says, rather than just taking and consuming all that on you, why don't you invest that and redeem others? Amen. I made you rich, not to make you powerful and influential and important and happy and eased on the earth. He says, labor to enter into my rest. Trust my promises. And I promise you this, the stress level of your life will go down immeasurably. Why? Because then it's, well, if the Lord is blessed, hey, God has a purpose for this. Amen. If God doesn't bless, God has a purpose for this. And you can rest in the promises of God instead of being driven, if you will, and overcome with problems and difficulties, and just enter into his rest trusting, hey, I'm just going to try to be a good steward with what God gives me, my money and my time and my family and my talents and my wisdom and my Bible background. Can I give you one more that I thought about? Anybody here like to hold a grudge? I had a man one time that he had hurt me very deeply, and I'm the type of person, I can't carry those things. And God taught me a principle early on, just forgive them, okay? And that man and I didn't see each other for years. It was, I believe it was close to 8 years we didn't see each other. And then one day we were at an auto parts store, and he saw me. And we started talking about his church, and it was apparent that he wasn't happy at the church he was at. The one he left our church for wasn't any better. That happens sometimes, okay? And he says, would you mind if we came back? I said, no. Come on back.
And they came for about a month, and so we went and we visited them, and we sat down, and they just, you could tell there was a real reluctance, and they said, well, we really want to come back, we just don't think you will let us. And I said, brother, I forgave you the day you walked out the door. Why? Because I'm not going to carry that burden. Set the captive free. Come on. Redeem the one that sold themselves into slavery and forgive them. Amen. Folks, I want you to know that God wants us to be good stewards, and so many times the punchline to all that is that we need to give more to missions or need to make sure we pay our tithes and our offerings. And folks, we've been given so much more than money. Do you realize there's a world full of people out there don't know the first thing about Jesus Christ? And we're sitting here rich in our understanding of the Word of God and the person of Christ. Oh, would to God that we'd be good stewards. And would to God that we would have the faith to just trust the promises of God like He asked Israel to do. And please take this the right way. Israel didn't do it one time. That's why they ended up in captivity. But aren't you glad God bought them back? God even forgave them. God's forgiven us. Folks, I like to leave these things open because I don't know what God's dealing with in your life. But maybe you should count your blessings. And then you could say, what could I do without to be a blessing? And try to embrace those principles of Sabbath and of Jubilee, whatever the Lord would have us to do. Amen.